Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, June 8th, Missions Monday, the start of Vacation Bible School. What a mission of Mountain Brook Baptist to be praying about. So let's start today just doing that. I asked Miss Sharon how we could be praying alongside, and she said that the children's hearts might be open to the gospel and learning more about Jesus, that they would have fun and connect with each other so that they'll want to come back, and for the workers to stay healthy and have a heart for sharing Jesus with the kids. Will you pray with me? Father, we do thank you for the start of VBS, and we ask, Lord, that you would be at work in our midst. My story is such that I came to faith the week of Vacation Bible School, and I pray for kids in our congregation and community, that they would be drawn to the gospel goodness and to faith in Jesus. Lord, we do ask that you would keep the children healthy and the workers healthy, and that their hearts would be open to the gospel. We pray for the kids to have fun and to connect with one another. And we pray that each of us would see these children as little souls in need of flourishing in your kingdom. Guard our mouths, guard our minds, and help us just to be conduits of your love, your grace, and a lot of fun this week for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Speaking of children, today's passage in Genesis 38 is really not a G kind of passage. It's more like PG-13. And so I just want to give you a heads up on that on the outset. I am going to summarize in places in case there are little ears that are listening along, which I love. I'm so grateful for our little ones who listen to God's Word daily. A few things to think about on the outset. God chose the Israelites as a people close to his heart, as Psalm 148 is going to say later in the passage that we read in the Psalms. But they continually go astray. As I read the first line of Genesis 38, I remembered how the mess with Dinah started. She went out to spend time with the women of the land. And here, Judah left his brothers and went down to Adullam, and he hung out with a man named Hira, who is likely a Canaanite, because there he met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. This gospel distinctiveness that we are called to as believers is difficult. Jacob's family needs to remain distinct in order to be a fragrant offering to the Lord. And yet it is so difficult, as we see here with Judah, who becomes absorbed in the culture around him. Genesis 38, starting in verse 1. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hira. There Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and made love to her, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was named Ur. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kazib that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, and so the Lord put him to death. Now I'm going to summarize verses 8 through 10 here. Judah asked another son to help take care of Tamar, but that son chose not to do what was right and honorable, and the Lord was so displeased that he put him to death. Verse 11, Judah then said to daughter-in-law Tamar, "Live as a widow in your father's household until my son Shelah grows up," for he thought, "He may die too, just like his brothers." So Tamar went to live in her father's household. Just a side note here, we can tell from the text that he had no intention of fulfilling this promise. Verse 12. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah, to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went with him. When Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance of Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that, though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. I'm going to summarize again here. So Judah sees her on the road and he doesn't recognize her, for she has covered her face. And not realizing who she was, he went to her and asked her to sleep with him. She asked for a few different pledges to make this agreement. She wanted his seal and its cord and the staff in his hand. And so he gave them to her in exchange, and she became pregnant. Meanwhile, Judah sent a goat by his friend the Adullamite in order to get back what he had given to the woman whom he thought was a shrine woman worker. But he found out that there really was no shrine woman worker who stood there daily. So he let Judah know. I'm going to pick back up here in verse 24. About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of being a shrine woman worker, and as a result, she is now pregnant." Judah said, "Bring her out and have her burned to death." As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law. "I'm pregnant by the man who owns these," she said, and she added, "See if you can recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are." Judah recognized them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son, Shelah." And he did not sleep with her again. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, "This one came out first." But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out, and she said, "So this is how you have broken out." And he was named Perez. Then the brother who had the scarlet thread on his wrist came out, and he was named Zerah. Gracious, can you see me blushing? The question is, who is most righteous in this passage? Well, Judah admits that Tamar is more righteous than he is because he wouldn't give her to his son, Shelah, who had now grown up. In this society, Tamar needed the protection and provision of being in a family. She also wanted to preserve the family line that Judah failed to do. Now, the way she goes about obtaining justice is not exactly righteous, but Judah says she's more righteous because he failed to keep his promise to her. What's interesting about Judah is that here it seems as though he is repenting of his action. And as we look forward to Genesis 44, we see that he's the one who offers himself on Benjamin's behalf when they're in front of Joseph. And so maybe, just maybe, this is a turning point in Judah's life where he recognizes that the selfish man within needs to repent and become sacrificial in his living toward others. Finally, this story reminds us that God works through flawed people and unexpected people. Even Tamar, who was a marginalized widow, is used by the Lord because the line of Judah and then the line of Perez become the ancestry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath and we're going to turn over to Psalm 148. This is a beautiful psalm. If you have time to go back and read it all, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 for you, and then verses 13 and 14. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Skipping over to verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful servants, of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together every day. Starting tomorrow, I hope to share with you some songs from VBS and maybe some little voices reminding us about the week. This passage in the Psalms, especially the last verse, is so meaningful to me. It says, and He has raised up for His people a horn. That means strength. He has given us strength. The praise of all His faithful servants. So just the recognition that we as God's servants want to be faithful and praise Him. Of Israel, the people close to His heart. Just like yesterday's sermon where Wayne talked about the importance of loving the Lord and focusing in on what that means. How do we love the Lord? One of the reasons we should love Him is because He has called us a people close to His heart. And so we are to obey His commands and not be selfish like Judah portrayed for us today, but instead to live sacrificially. That sacrificial love that is most clearly displayed for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask, Lord, that You would protect our hearts as we read it, that You would make us mindful of the praiseworthiness of Jesus Christ, the one who did not think about His own interest, but making others more important than Himself. He made Himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. He humbled Himself to death on a cross so that by His sacrificial gift, we might be saved. This week, Lord, we boldly ask that You would save children in our midst, that You would also save those among us who are in need of a healing touch. And Lord, would You save those from a life of sin who have gone astray. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus, our friend, our Redeemer, our Rescuer. Amen.